Welcome back, guys. We are now going to start a new study through the book of Romans. And let me tell you, I'm excited and I'm kind of ashamed, to be honest with you, that I didn't preach through this book sooner. This is definitely one of those studies that I want to do definitely more than once, like maybe every 2 years or something like that. Because the book of Romans, I mean, it is literally the book of the gospel. So I'm going to title this sermon, Vaccination Against False Doctrine. There's no way, okay, look, there is no way you're going to study through the book of Romans and not be equipped on man's condition before God, what sin is, salvation, sanctification, the supremacy of God, and obviously Christian service, okay? You're going to get all of that in this study, very deep, very intense. And I tell the story, you know, if it were posed to me as a challenge to go through the next 6 months with only one book of the Bible, I would pick the book of Romans. I mean, think about it. We start our soul winning and practically end our soul winning in the book of Romans. It's got so much to it. Now, thank God we don't have to do that, but that does get the point across. Chapter one, okay, I'm going to make some great connections regarding the gospel. And Paul starts off very basic here, you know, very basic, but yet these basics are things that most people that profess Christ don't even know, like the gospel. Okay, the Bible says the gospel of God. I mean, right there in verse 1, over there in verse 9, okay? The gospel of God, okay? Meaning he is the originator of the gospel. The gospel is not just new to the New Testament. The gospel has been around longer than the earth, okay? So the gospel originates, it's of God, meaning God is the source of it. Not God and man, but God himself. So the gospel is of God. The gospel is from God. And the gospel is for us to receive. Very basic. So we're only going to make it through the first 17 verses. We're going to start with an overview of the book. I'm going to get into some different things, some highlights of the book, and then we're going to just go through the first 17 verses, but still packed with a lot of information. And then next week, you already know where we're going. The end of the chapter, everybody's familiar with that. So we'll dig into that next week. But yeah, I just wanted to go through the book of Romans. I think it's just a great study. It's going to level you up in what we call the five S's, which I've already gone through. So I hope this also encourages you guys. And again, you know, if you guys have your prayer requests, don't forget to send them to us because we are still putting them on our prayer list on Wednesdays. But I hope you guys enjoy the message. God bless. Here's Brother Josh with the reading of Romans chapter number one.
Romans chapter number one, beginning in verse one, the Bible reads, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name, among whom are ye also the called of Jesus Christ. To all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers, making request if by any means, now at length I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, to the end ye may be established, that is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith both of you and me. Now I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oftentimes I purposed to come unto you, but was let hitherto, that I might have some fruit among you also, even as among other Gentiles. I am a debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation, to every one that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that, when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness, through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error, which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind, to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who, knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Brother Evan, would you please pray for us?
All right. Well, amen. Romans chapter number 1. So we'll actually be here for 2 weeks. We're going to get through the first probably 17 verses tonight, and then we'll tackle the last half of that chapter and go into chapter 2 next Sunday. So it's just kind of the way it's got to be. Very heavy chapter. And so I'm going to start off with an overview of the book of Romans, and then we'll go into chapter number 1. Now, I'm going to title this sermon, Vaccination Against False Doctrine. Vaccination Against False Doctrine. The reason why I titled it as such is because there's no way that you can study through the book of Romans and not understand salvation and so many other things that are important that we're going to get into. This will be a book that we study more than one time, obviously. I'm ashamed that I haven't brought this up before or that we haven't gone through this book verse by verse because it is so important of a book. If you were to tell me, hey, I got a challenge for you. For the next 6 months, you can have one book out of the Bible to live by and to do everything in your Christian walk by, it would be the book of Romans, for sure, 100%. Now, obviously, nobody's going to do that, but if the challenge came, that is what I would pick. And so the book of Romans is literally the book of the gospel. Gospel meaning good news. And remember, okay, the gospel is the good news that most of the Jews had rejected. And so Paul deals with a lot of things in this book. It's very detailed. I'm telling you right now that when you study this book, if you make it through, you will not be the same person. And you take a look at your spiritual self, where you're at right now. By the time that we are done, I promise you one thing, you will not be the same. You will be much, much better. You're going to learn so many different things, you know, and you've heard a lot of these words before, but we're going to go into great detail. You're going to get better at understanding salvation, sanctification, all of these different things, imputation, just a lot of the big words that we typically see as we're just kind of casually reading over these things. So this book is designed to give us, like I said, several things, but here's four really quickly that I want you to just kind of think about, okay? And number one is the gospel, which we've already talked about. It's the good news, okay? This book is designed to give you a thorough understanding of the gospel. Number two, mankind, and we're going to come back to that here in a moment. Number three, Christian service. And number four, the truth about physical Israel. And obviously included in that is the Israel of God. So those four things primarily You're going to definitely get a very keen understanding of. Now, if you would, look over at verse number 16, because this is really, I believe, the foundational verse for the entire book of Romans. Look what it says. So Paul says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it," meaning the gospel, good news, "for it is the power of God unto salvation, unto everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek." Now you can go back there to chapter number one. But I've been told this several times throughout my Christian life, and I believe this. Every great revival that this country or churches in general have ever had, it has been because of a detailed study through the book of Romans. And you're going to see why. Not only are we going to look at those four things that I just mentioned, okay? The gospel, obviously mankind, Christian service, the truth about Israel, but this is also the home of what we call the five S's, okay? And what are they? Well, you've got salvation, you've got sin, you've got sanctification, you have the supremacy of God, and then, of course, you have service. And how do we serve the Lord? Now, if you're taking notes, I want you to write these down here. I wrote down a few revelations that you're going to get from the book of Romans. And this basically kind of just sections the book out for you. Okay? And so the first revelation that we come to starts literally in verse 1 and goes all the way through to chapter 3 and verse 20. And what we get from that revelation is a picture of God's wrath. Okay? You get a picture of God's wrath. And so with that, we learn what man's standing is before God. So in other words, if you're to ask most people on the street, "Hey, okay, what do you think? What do you think man's standing is in the sight of God? Like, where does man stand before God, just in general?" Okay, you're going to probably hear several things, but you can group them into two things, honestly. Okay, you're going to hear people say, "Well, man is bad, but he's improving." Okay, how many people have been told, "Well, okay, I'm kind of bad, but I'm getting better. I'm working towards it. Okay, I'm working at getting better. I'm not Hitler. I'm not Dahmer. Okay, so I'm improving." Okay, so you're going to hear that. That theory. And then number two is you're going to hear, "Well, man is sick and he needs a healer." Okay, so man is sick, he just needs a healer. And the healer is the Holy Ghost. He comes inside of you. He heals you and enables you to then live that perfect life that goes on and earns your salvation. Okay, so that's the other heresy that comes out of that question. But what is the answer? Okay, the answer is what you already know. The answer is that man is dead and needs a savior. Okay, that's what this book hammers over and over and over again. So again, the first revelation from this book is God's wrath. Verse 1, chapter 1, all the way to verse 20 in chapter number 3. Now, the second revelation is very simple, and it's God's salvation. And you get a great picture of that, among other things, okay, from chapter 3, verse 21 to chapter 8, verse number 39. So I'm not going to expound much more on that because we're going to get a heavy dose of that over the next couple of months. So number three is wisdom about physical Israel versus the real Israel or the Israel of God. And that starts in chapter 9, verse 1 and goes all the way through chapter 11, verse number 39. And then the fourth revelation is God's will, which we'll say begins in chapter 12, verse 1 and goes all the way through basically the end of the book, okay, minus the greeting and such. So that's just kind of a quick breakdown, four revelations that we'll get into from the book of Romans. Now, just a couple of things about the book of Romans. Okay, I used to have a pastor that would highlight this out, and I think I might have mentioned this before. But he's like, you can find the word man in Romans. Okay, there's some of these that I'm about to mention. You can kind of say, I don't know, I'm not too sure. But you can't do that with all of them. Okay, so for example, Romans is the sixth book in the New Testament. It is the sixth book that, or the sixth epistle rather, that Paul had wrote. And I'm going to show you a few other things here that kind of go along with that. Now, why is that significant? What does the number six represent? Well, it's the number of a man. Okay, it's the number of a man. So do me a favor, just real quickly. I think this might be the only time tonight we do this, but just go forward in your Bibles to the book of Galatians real fast. So just go back, past 1st, 2nd Corinthians. Go to Galatians chapter number 5. So the Bible tells us that obviously 666 is the number of a man, and obviously the number of the Antichrist as well. We'll do a detailed study on the number six in the future. But obviously, I've already mentioned this, that this book deals heavily with mankind and his standing before God as a sinner. Okay, and the number six in the Bible denotes man. It denotes the flesh of man. Okay, like this morning we talked about Goliath. And if you were paying attention, you would see the number six stamped all over Goliath. For example, he was what? 6 cubits and a span. We talked about his armor being 6 shekels and things like that. Okay, it's all sewn throughout the Bible. And I was going to get more into that. And then I was studying this. I was like, you know what? That's actually a good sermon idea. You know, compare the armor of Goliath with the number six with Ephesians 6, which is, you know, the chapter where we obviously get our church name from. So I'm going to push that off, but I just want you to see this here. Galatians chapter 5, look at verse number 6. So Paul tells the Galatians, he says, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." Okay, remember, the man, the old man that you and I have, wants to be fulfilled. And the way he wants to be fulfilled is through the things of the world, the things that go contrary to the Spirit. Okay, verse 17, "For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. But if you be led by the Spirit, you are not under the law." So though we have this dual nature inside of us, we're saved, we're born again, we're never going to lose our salvation. Every single day, all of us, we have this problem. And that problem is this contrary struggle within us between the old and the new man. Okay, and I believe that's one of the reasons that you find the number six so carefully woven all throughout this book here. Now, just to give you some examples, go to Romans chapter number 2. And I'm going to begin to give you just 6 verses that have the word man and the sixth word in these verses. Okay, and look at chapter 2 in verse number 1. So you can count these if you want. It says, "Therefore, thou art inexcusable, oh," now look at that word, "man, whosoever thou art that judges." Okay, so again, chapter 2, verse 1. The sixth word in that verse is man. And of course, in other languages, this doesn't work. But there's so many of these that even in other languages, you're probably going to find a lot of the same types of things. Now look at verse number 3. It says, "And thinkest thou this, oh," there it is again, number 6. What does it say? Man. Okay, look down at verse number 6 now. It says, "Who will render to every man according to his deeds." Go to chapter 3 real quick and look at verse number 28. Okay, and verse number 28 says, "Therefore we conclude that a man is what? Justified by faith without the deeds of the law." So there it is again. Go to chapter number 5 and look at verse number 7. Says, "For scarcely for a righteous man will one die." Last one, this is number 6, of course, is going to be chapter number 6. And obviously, verse number 6, look at what it says. "Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him." Okay, so that is just literally some food for thought. There's so many of these that I've had studied, that I've had written down, that I just could not, I didn't want this sermon to kind of just go into that, but there's something to that here. This book defines very clearly, again, how man goes from that state to righteous before God. Okay, and we understand that it's the gospel. The Bible is going to tell us here in chapter 1, the very first verse, you're going to learn that the gospel is of God. Okay, it's not of man. What does the word "of" mean in the Bible? Of denotes source. Okay, from, where from. The gospel is of God, meaning from him, not from you, not from me, not from us. So it's of God, it's from God, and it's given by God. It is so clear in this book. There's no way you're going to be able to study this and ever come to another conclusion, okay? And if you run into somebody, "Well, I'm an expositor of the book of Romans, and I still believe you got to work for your salvation," you know that guy's a fraud. You know, he's lying to you, okay? So now let's go ahead and get into this study here. So back to chapter number 1. Now let's go ahead and look at some things here. All right, so again, it says, verse number 1, "Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto," and here it is, here's that phrase again, "the gospel of God." Remember, gospel means good news, okay? Not probation, but salvation. But the important thing for you and I to understand here is that it comes from God. How many times during the week are you and I told, "Well, yeah, I believe in God, I'm a Christian and all this stuff, but I got to do my own part. Okay, well, the Bible says that the gospel is of God, meaning it came from Him. Why are you inserting yourself in that order, in that chain of command? That is not right. That is not impossible. Okay, and so in verse number one, now we kind of get this what. Okay, what are we talking about here? What does Paul start off addressing right off the bat to these Gentiles in Rome? And that is obviously the gospel, okay? The gospel is not new to the New Testament. The gospel is older than the New Testament. The gospel is older than Methuselah. I mean, heck, the gospel is older than the foundations of the world, okay? So this is not a new concept. It is only new to those who have never heard it or have never had this preached to them. So he starts this off by clearly establishing who he is and what he's about. And he's saying, and he's telling you, hey, I was chosen. Okay, my office as an apostle, I was called by Jesus Christ himself unto the gospel of God. Okay, look at verse number two. It says, now here you're going to get the how. So we've got the what. What's this book about? It's about the gospel. Okay, just in a nutshell, about the gospel. This is the book of the gospel. But look at verse two. Which he... Now, who is the he there? Well, that is God, okay? That is God, which he had promised. You have to understand something here, okay? This gospel, which is of God, which is from God, which is good news, okay, was promised, okay? How was it promised? Promised to the world. How? Look at what it says. Which he had promised afore, meaning before he's even writing to them, okay? Promised afore by his prophets. Okay, and that's where a lot of people, they just like to cut that off and they just like to stop right there. Well, we believe that the scriptures are without error, okay, and verbally inspired, okay, as the prophet spoke. If you go around, all you got to do is just get your phone out and just type in church. Just type in church on your phone on Google Maps and then just start clicking on them and go and read their what we believe about the gospel section. Okay, what do we believe about doctrine, and just read what they say about the scriptures, and you're going to find that over and over again. We believe in the Bible as far as it was translated correctly. We believe in the Bible and the verbal inspiration of God. What they're telling you is they don't believe we have the Bible today. This is very serious, okay? Written a couple thousand years ago. I don't know the dates exactly, but Paul's telling them back then that, hey, guess what? The gospel, which comes from God, which he had promised afore by his prophets. Now let's finish the verse. In the Holy Scriptures. Okay, in the Holy Scriptures. So, I mean, that should be the nail in the coffin to these original manuscript only as people, or these people that just say, well, I'm a Christian. I play church during, you know, Sundays, and we have small groups, and yay, I'm happy, and I'm, you know, I'm free. Look at the holes in my jeans, and I can use all the Bible versions because we're free in Christ, and there's no standards, and being fundamental is the same as being a terrorist. Okay, all of these people need to be silenced, and this verse here should shut them up, because the Bible is being very clear to us that God promised what? The gospel. And he said, hey, this thing went forth before I even decided to write to you, and it was confirmed by the Holy Scriptures. Scriptures are what? They are sacred writings. That's what they are, sacred writings. This is why I get so upset when I hear people demean and attack the Bible and try to imply that, well, man failed us and didn't translate this word correctly, so we need to go to the scholar. Again, I'd like to point out to you that is Catholic. That is Catholic doctrine right there. What man is doing is what man loves to do. Man loves to insert himself as the top dog, as the supreme one, okay? And Paul's like, I'm not even going to start teaching you guys doctrine until you can even understand these basic facts here. Number one, the gospel comes from him, okay? It's of him, it's from him, and it's given from him to you should you choose to accept it. And number three, he's saying, guess what? Okay, this gospel is older than the New Testament. It's older than anything. It's older than the world, and it is confirmed by the sacred writings of those prophets. Okay, he doesn't say, hold on, Romans, I need to go find the nearest scholar, the nearest Hebrew scholar, and make sure that what I have written down here up until this point is actually correct. You're never going to hear him say anything like that. Okay, so let's move on here. Verse number three gives us the who. Okay, so we have the source. Okay, it's of God, and we're going to come back to that when we get to verse nine. But now let's look at the who. Who does this all concern? Well, look at verse 3. Concerning his son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh. Now, the Bible says that for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible says we're all liars, and I lied to you. I said we're only going to go to Galatians, but I got to have you go to John chapter number 1. So if you wouldn't mind, real quickly, go over to John chapter number 1. And so what Paul's saying there is that the gospel encompasses Jesus Christ. He is the center of that. Okay, he is the one who obviously died on the cross, bore the sins of us, okay, and so on. And we're going to get more into that, okay, but I just want to show you this here. Look at verse 14. So John chapter 1, verse number 14 says this, and the Word, okay, now remember, and the Word, who is the Word? This is Jesus, okay? What's significant about the Word? Well, just real quickly, look back at verse number 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So keep this in mind, guys, when you're reading Genesis chapter number 1, okay? Realize Jesus Christ is right there, okay? Now, had he been manifest in the flesh yet? No, okay, but still God, okay? Verse 14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And so this right here is explaining the nature of Jesus Christ, okay? Fully man, fully God, born of the Virgin Mary, okay? And so that is what Paul seeks right off the bat to establish. And of course, we know that Jesus is going to stay in that resurrected body that he has now forever. That is what the Bible says, okay? So back to Romans 1, verse 3, concerning his son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh. That's key right there. You have to know that. According to the flesh. So if anybody asks you, hey, what does this mean, according to the flesh? Well, that is referring to the time, obviously, in which Christ was born, when God was manifest in the flesh, born of the virgin, so on and so forth. Okay? That's just what he is. He's just coming right out of the gate and telling you who we serve. Okay, we serve Jesus Christ. We serve the Lord. He's fully God, fully man. Not a half-breed or anything of that nature. Verse number four. So the Bible says, and declared, okay, so he's declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. Okay, so that resurrection, okay, is literally what split history in two. Okay, and of course, we have people today trying to remove the AD from the calendar and things of that nature, but it doesn't matter. It's still there. Okay, the world knows that Jesus Christ lived. In their hearts, in the darkest chambers of their mind, they know it's true. Okay, and we'll address that further in chapter number 2. But the point being here is that this has been declared throughout the whole world. This is not something like, you know, did he live? Did he not live? You know what's funny about this, though, is we'll get people and they'll say, well, I just don't believe that Jesus really existed. Maybe there was somebody like that and he was just a good magician. But they'll believe in Alexander the Great. They'll believe in all these Egyptian pharaohs. They'll believe in all kinds of stuff from way even before Christ was born. Okay, at least that's what they'll tell you. Okay, but the Bible says that when Christ comes back, he's going to judge the secrets of men's thoughts. Look at verse number 5. By whom we have, now look at this, received, okay, received. We are the recipients, okay? Any gift that you have from God, you have to understand you are the recipient, not the earner. You are the recipient. Paul's acknowledging this here. By whom we have received grace. What is grace? It is unmerited, undeserved, unwarranted favor. That is what that is, okay? By whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name. And so again, Paul starts off a lot of his epistles with his credentials. Okay, a lot of times he starts off by giving thanks, a blessing, an establishment of who he serves, and of course, a shout out to his position in Christ, which is an apostle, if you will. Now, a lot of people today say, well, there's apostles at my church. Does your church have apostles? I say, no, because we don't have any 2,000-year-old people that are alive today. And they look at me kind of funny. Well, that doesn't make sense. There's still, T.D. Jakes is an apostle. Apostle's just a pastor of pastors. Ain't no such thing anymore, okay? The apostles were clearly chosen by Christ. There was a requirement. I think we've done a study on this in the past, but there are no more living apostles today. When someone says, hey, I'm apostle so-and-so, you just can look at them and say, you're a liar, okay? And possibly, more than likely, not even saved. But, you know, I'm sure there's one out there that's just whack. Anyways, people can believe some whack stuff, man. I'm telling you, and still be saved. I've seen it. Verse 6. Among whom are ye also the called of Jesus Christ? Of course, we talk about this all the time. You know, the Calvinists like to mix this up. Well, God has called you. So he's called you, hasn't called you. Called you three, not you. Okay, no, that's not what you... Look, by the time we're done with this book, that's not even going to be possible in your mind. The next time someone even wants to debate you or come at you, you're just going to be so exhausted. Just like, get out of here. Ain't happened, okay? We collectively who have elected God to be our Savior, who have been converted, born again, called upon the name of the Lord, okay? We are the called of Jesus Christ, okay? Meaning we get our righteousness from Him, like I've been saying over and over again this evening. Verse number 7, look what it says. It says, to all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. So look at what it says there. It says, to all that be in Rome, beloved of God. Now, when people come at you and they say, well, I just know that God loves me, but they won't give you a solid answer on what they believe about Jesus Christ, okay, we've got an issue here. We've got a big problem. Because the only way to the Father is through the Son. If you don't have the Son, you don't have the Father. And so all these people running around, for example, today saying, well, you know, Israel last week, they Mossad infiltrated a manufacturing plant that made up all of these walkie-talkies and all of these pagers, and they blew up all their enemies over in, you know, Lebanon or whatever. Okay, that's a miracle, man. That's an act of God. It's because of God's people and God loves. They hate Jesus Christ. Okay, they are not beloved of God. These are the people right here that are beloved of God who have called upon the name of the Lord. The gospel is the good news rejected by Jews. And I mean that by primarily mostly. Okay, and everybody, I'm sure everybody knows that Israel and Hezbollah from Lebanon, they're bombing each other like crazy. Like even as we speak right now, I mean, this war is just popping off over there. And I'm looking at the comments on some of these YouTube channels and people are like, yeah, that's right. Jesus is coming back probably by the end of the night, maybe even by the end of the week, you know? And then there's people on there like, well, Northern Israel just got like tore up. So they're like, what does this say about the Bible? What does this say about God? I thought they were the protected ones. So this may be something we have to start dealing with soon out here, depending on how bad this gets. But either way, it's our job to let people know and to stand on this fact and to be a witness to the truth that the only way to God is through Jesus Christ. And it's very clear. That's why he says to all that be at Rome, beloved of God. How do we become beloved of God? It's through Christ. It's through the gift, the offering, the sacrifice that he did that we receive. That is the only way. Okay? And that's why he finishes this verse off the way that he does. Grace to you. Who's the you there? Is that just everybody in the whole entire world? No, to the beloved of God. Okay, the beloved of God, those who are of the Lord Jesus Christ. So if you're not saved, you're not beloved of God. Okay, Mormon, I'm sorry, you're not the beloved of God. Okay, you are not the called, you are not the chosen. Oh, but before we were in existence, we were all spirit babies. No, that's false doctrine. That is heresy. That's not found anywhere in the Bible. Okay, in an effort though for these man-made religions to keep flourishing and getting that cash, they have to adjust to society. Okay? And so you're going to start to see that with them. And, you know, I've had quite a few Mormons. In fact, you can look on our YouTube channel sometimes. There are people say, well, I'm part of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, and we would never talk about the alphabet community the way that you do. Well, wait till next week when you read the last part of Romans chapter 1. And I'd like you to face Paul and say that to his face. Okay, and say, you know what? I can't believe what you say about those people. Well, we get it from Paul. I mean, come on here. It's the gospel. It's the word of God. Okay. Again, this chapter here begins something, and we're just warming up here. Okay. It begins a study regarding God's wrath all the way to chapter 3 and verse 20. Now, there's many lessons we're going to learn in between there, but primarily we're getting a revelation of God's wrath, and it's actually starting up right here in this verse. God's telling us, hey, there's a certain group of people on this earth that are beloved of God, okay? And who are they? They're the called. the saved, those who have chosen to put their faith and trust on Jesus Christ. Everyone else, not yet. Okay, you are not the beloved of God. We want them to be, which is why we preach truth, why we preach the gospel to these people. So let's move on here. Look at verse number 8. He says, first, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. Now, it's not really clear how this church got started. Obviously, it probably began somewhat around the time of Peter preaching at Pentecost when all the different nations were there to hear him. I would imagine people went back and started to continue that and they started sending folks over there. But I mean, look at what they've done so far. Paul hasn't even gone and visited these guys yet. And look what he's saying. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all that your faith. Okay, so these guys aren't just slouching around. They're not just taking the grace and run, okay? They're actually interested in the things of God. They're spreading the truth. They're trying to get people saved. They're going from faith to faith, start to finish. And that action has spread abroad. That's why this morning I told you guys, look, you know, this. Don't just look at this church. Oh, this is the path. This is your church. No, this is your church. You come here, okay? You need to have a vested interest in this church. This is our church together, and together we can make the same impact that you see here in the book of Romans. That's why he's saying that your faith is spoken throughout the whole world. That's our desire, not just for this church, but for the entire body of Christ and anybody who's got the right gospel in the right Bible. That's the mission field. That's what we need to do. Okay, but also notice the reference to prayer here, okay, the beginning of the verse. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ. Okay, isn't that how we do it, how we pray, how we get to God? It's through Jesus Christ. And of course, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. So everybody has heard of these folks. And of course, Paul's dealing with legal battles at the same time and getting people saved, getting in shipwrecks and having people take advantage of him. The Jews are trying to kill him. And he's, you know, unwavering. Just totally not even shook up. He's just like, let's go. Let's get this done. And he knows he's going to go to Rome. And when he gets there, he has a mission. He has a plan to not only edify these people, but to also even continue preaching that gospel. Look at verse number 9. He says, for God is my witness, of whom I serve with my spirit. Okay, I want to stop right there for a second. Look what he says. For God is my witness, whom I serve. I've had the unfortunate privilege of sitting in the Calvary Church, the New Evangelical Church, the Nazarene Church, whatever you want to have it during my life. And one of the things they always try to make a point here to do is to say, well, you know, some translations use the word servant, but it should be slave. We're slaves to the gospel. And of course you would want that because you teach a false gospel anyway. You teach that you have to be a slave and sold out in order to earn your salvation. No, it says servant, but look at what he says about that word servant there. Look what he says. For God is my witness, whom I what? Serve with my what? Spirit. Again, another reference to that dual nature that we all have. Old man, new man, okay? Hey, and the new man, he don't sin. That new man's always good to go every single day, okay? That's why he calls that out there and says, hey, I serve, God's my witness in the spirit, okay? The spirit's doing right. He's like, the other Paul here, though, like, sometimes I'm not too happy and I'd rather be doing something else and fighting my way to you guys. Now, obviously, this is kind of how I'm reading it, but you get the point. Now, look at this next phrase here. Hey, for God is my witness, whom I serve in my spirit in the gospel of his son. You see that? In the gospel of his son. Now, wait a second here. Didn't he start off the letter by saying that Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated into the gospel of God, as in God the Father? Now you're telling me it's God the Son? Oh, that's right, because we serve one God. That's a Trinity, three in one, the Father, the Word, the Holy Ghost, okay? So not only can we say that it's the gospel of God, but it's the gospel of his Son, proving that the Bible says Jesus Christ is God. So just another thing for you guys to remember, maybe write down if you're dealing with somebody that's like, you know, my imam says that the Bible nowhere says that Jesus is actually deity, that he's actually God. It says it right here, dude. Verse 9, verse 1, put them together and do the math. That's called rightly dividing the word of truth. That is what that's called. And that's what this church is aiming to do. That's what we are called to do. Okay. So again, He says, I serve, verse 9, with my spirit in the gospel of his son. The same gospel that he mentioned earlier, okay? There's only one gospel. That without ceasing, I make mention of you always in my prayers. Now, later on in the book, he's going to get into detail about what that really means in the mechanics of what our spirit's doing with the Holy Spirit. And I mentioned that on Wednesday, but we'll get obviously much, much deeper into that doctrine later on. Verse 10, making request, if by any means, now at length, I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. Again, this is one of the reasons why we have a prayer list. Okay, if you're traveling or you're going somewhere, hey, make sure, make it a point to put that on the prayer list so we can get that on there for safe travels. That's a biblical thing. That's why we do that. Verse 11, for I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, to the end ye may be established. Okay, so remember, these guys have started up. They're on fire. I mean, they've got faith and it's spreading throughout the whole world. And Paul just can't wait to really get in there and just give them some good doctrine. Obviously, this letter definitely had a huge part in that. But he's like, when I get there, I want to give you guys some gifts and really cement things, settle you down and just make you really flourish. And I believe that definitely happened for quite a while. And then people went all Catholic and we got what we have today, and Rome's a bad word. So, but yeah, that's kind of funny today, right? When you think of Rome, it's like the Pope, Catholic Church, all centered around man, right? The Pope, the vicar of Christ, Christ on earth. It's horrible. Okay. But we'll hash that out over the coming weeks. Look at verse number 12. That is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith, both of you and me. Jew and Gentile, there is only one in Christ. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter if you're the Hebrew of the Hebrews like Paul was. He's saying, hey, the same faith that's in you, Romans, is the same faith that is in me. We are one in Christ. Look at verse 13. You're going to find this phrase, I think, six-ish times in the New Testament. Paul says, now I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oftentimes I purposed to come unto you, but was let hitherto, that I might have some fruit among you also, even as among other Gentiles. So Paul's like, hey, I can't wait to get there so that I can preach the gospel, get some people saved, teach people, impart gifts, and actually bear some fruit among you to be an example among you guys. And he's saying, hey, I don't want you to be ignorant of that. I'm not just writing this for my own good. I'm not just writing this so that we can, you know, I can kind of like take glory for what you guys have already done. That's not the point. He's saying, hey, I don't want you to be ignorant of that, okay? We've done studies on that, but ignorance, not a good thing at all. We're getting close to being done for the evening, but look at verse number 14. It says, I am a debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. Now remember, Paul had often said, I learned to become all things to all men that I may save some. So Paul obviously made it a point to be relatable to people, and he's giving credit here to all sorts of people, Greeks, barbarians, the wise, the unwise. He's been blessed and helped by all types of people. Now, except the people that he's probably about to deal with next week, but we'll talk next week. Verse 15. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. Now, when he's saying that, I don't want you to think, oh, are these guys not saved? What's all these verses before that? No, the people he's writing to the saved, but he's letting them know again, hey, I can't wait to get there so I can preach to your fellow Romans, your fellow citizens, bring them into the body of Christ and really just knock this thing down. And then he explains it further. And this is where we kind of started the sermon here. Okay, verse 16. Definitely the cornerstone verse, I believe, in this entire book. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. You know, when somebody tells you that the gospel is probation in any way, shape, or form, you know what they're really telling you? They're telling you that they're ashamed of the gospel. They're ashamed that they don't have to work for their salvation. Okay, that is old man. That is flesh speaking. That's satanic is what it is. It's not right. It's wrong. Okay, and Paul's like, hey, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. I'm not ashamed at all that my works mean nothing in the sight of God at all. Okay, it's all what he did. That doesn't cause any shame at all. So I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it, okay, the gospel, not your works, for it, that gospel that is of God the Father, that is of God the Son, that is of and from the Holy Spirit who preserves us until the day of redemption. Okay, For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it, that good news, it is what? The power of God unto salvation. That gospel that was promised aforetime and was preached by the prophets and was penned down even in the Old Testament in the scriptures, preserved by God, okay? That gospel. You can't, and I was reading these quotes earlier, and I don't even know why I torture myself like this, but people were like, you know what? You know, some people preach the gospel that's written, but the better one is the one preached with your lips closed. And basically they're implying that you preach the gospel with the way you live your life. Okay, and if we were to audit anybody on this planet, I don't care how good of a preacher saved they are, you're going to find problems. I've told you guys this before, and I'm telling you this is true. You can take the best preachers that have ever lived, who seem to have the most sanctified, holy lives. If you were to read their thought lives, you would throw up immediately. You would want to fight that person. It would be an absolute nightmare. If you and I could read each other's thoughts in here, next service would be nobody here. I don't even think I'd show up. Okay, none of us would show up. That is just reality, man. That is how it is, okay? Now, does anybody know why I'm even talking about this? but let me read the verse again. Okay, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, okay? That's crystal clear. You get that. I don't know what that was, but it was free. I'm not a Jew. I'm not going to charge that to you. Okay, look what he says. To the Jew first and also to the Greek. Now, why does he say Jew first? Well, because remember, the Jews had the oracles of God. Remember, it goes back to that whole Old Testament. God established a nation of 12 tribes. And what was the goal? The goal was for them to be sanctified, separate from the world. It was to be a beacon of light and hope to the rest of the world. It says, hey, you need to call upon the name of the Lord. You need to get saved. You need to be born again. And of course, that crumbled and that fizzled and that got reduced down to this province of the Roman government known as Judea. Of course, Jesus dies on the cross, defeats death. You know, the whole veil's torn in half. That system is out the window, okay? And so that's why he says, hey, to the Jew first, because they originally had the truth. Now, a new type of Jew has it. And we'll learn about that in chapter 2. And that new type of Jew is us. Us who are saved, it is very clear. So he says to the Jew first and also to the Greek. So just another way you can look at this is the whole world. Anybody, doesn't matter your nationality. Okay? Everybody can be saved. And because the gospel, guys, is not old, or I'm sorry, it's not new. It is old. I'm sorry. It's not new to the New Testament. It's old. Okay. There's tons of examples of people that aren't Hebrew or are not Jewish getting saved. I mean, okay, go back to Genesis, what is it? Chapter number 4. And then began men to call upon the name of the Lord. Who were those men? Was Adam, what tribe was Adam from? What tribe was Seth from? What about Noah? Was Noah a Jew? What tribe was Abraham? What tribe was Isaac from? What tribe was Jacob from? Hey, him and his wife begat the 12 tribes. This is ridiculous, okay? It's racist. You want to talk about what a real racist is? Look no farther than somebody who practices Judaism or one of these Jews, okay? And you'll find real, true, honest racism because that's what it is, okay? And again, all the stuff I'm saying, it's going to be crystal clear, no punches pulled. The Bible spells it out for you very, very clearly. But it is your job, again, to study and confirm these things, and it's your job to believe them. A lot of the things in Romans are, I mean, look, you were to tell, pick a Tree City Church. I like to pick on them. Tree City Church on Eagle Road. And just say, hey, do you know what a Jew is? Just go walk around there. Hey, what's a Jew? What's a Jew? What's a Jew? And just every answer you get, you know, it's going to be, oh, somebody in the Middle East, oh, it's God's chosen people, blah, blah, blah. And then go pull out chapter 2, verse 28 and 29 to them. They know a Jew is somebody who's believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. Doesn't matter what their ethnicity is. No, that must be some Zionist Nazi propaganda, okay? They're not going to believe you, but it's the Bible, okay? It's the Word of God is what I'm trying to say. So we need to cut this off here because I'm going to go off on all these rabbit trails and have no idea why what I'm talking about. This is not my day. Look at verse 17. We're going to end it right here. Okay. And again, the theme of this book, I would say, if I could give you just one word as a theme, you know what it is. It's this word right here, righteousness. Look at verse 17. For therein, okay, therein meaning the gospel, okay, for therein is the righteousness, look at that next phrase, of God, righteousness of God. The phrase righteousness of God is synonymous with the gospel of God, the gospel of the Son, salvation. Conversion, okay? That's what he's saying. So for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. So start to finish is what he's getting at there, okay? From faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. And just to make matters worse for a lot of people, that's a quote from the book of Habakkuk in the Old Testament, a minor prophet, if you will, which he was a prophet to the southern kingdom of Judah, but I ain't got time to get into that. We're going to stop right there and we'll pick it up at that verse next week because he's going to get into detail to people that claim, hey, I don't believe in God, or I'm going to worship the creature more than the creator. He's going to get into detail on how that happens. Okay, so notice what he's done so far. He's established a very clear and concise record of the gospel. It's of God. It's free. There's nothing you can do. You just have to receive it. Once you're in, you're in. There's no difference between Jew or Gentile. The gospel's of God, from God, given by God, like we've been saying. And then he's going to get into the people that mock that. Okay, he's going to get into people that we would call modern day psychopaths or what he calls reprobates. And you're going to see that parallel next week. So I don't want to spoil it. Can't really spoil it with this crew because you guys already know. You've heard it 1,000 times. But it's still fun. It's still fun to go through it because we hate these people. So it's just like, yeah, let's get them, Paul. So next week, it's going down. And that might be one of the only ones that doesn't end up on YouTube. I don't know. I got to see how I feel. But we're going to cut it off right there for tonight. We'll pick it up in chapter 1, verse 17 again next week. So let's go ahead and pray. Thank you so much, Lord, for your truths, for everything that you do for us. Just pray you bless our week, Lord, and bring us back again safely on Wednesday. And of course, Lord, we just pray guide us home safely and bless again the fellowship afterwards. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. All right. So.